I'd like to pray. Father, I just ask you just guide my tongue today, Lord, and allow me to bring forth your word. And we just thank you for just humbling me and bringing me to this point, Lord. Just allow me to be a blessing to others tonight. And we just thank you for just being in my life. And allowing me to be used of you. This is amazing. I was pretty lost. I mean, real lost. I didn't know God. I was filled with rejection, bitterness, unforgiveness. Addicted to alcohol and drugs. I didn't know love, only lust. I was 30 years old and had nothing to my name. I was numbing the pain of rejection by drinking and feeding my flesh, and I was in a miserable place. God brought me a wife that I love very much. After that, he saved me. He delivered me. He healed me. He showed me miracles. And then I fell into apostasy. I was in spiritual pride, thinking I was sanctified by just accepting Jesus. I was acting like the world, going to church, speaking the Christian lingo. I thought I was going to get blessed because I was paying the tithe. The only faith I had was going to church. I thought that was faith. I was spiritually blinded. I was on my way to hell and thinking I was saved. Then one day he opened my eyes, gave me boldness, showed me the apostate, you know, area I was in, showed me the wilderness, and led me to Moses, who taught me how to walk in faith, what Christ's nature, character, and authority in me was. What true repentance and unforgiveness was. And then God moved me to the wilderness where he tried me and chastened me, spanked me pretty good, put his fear in me, and all because he loved me. He got me out of works and opened my spiritual eyes, gave me a hunger for the word, and now David asked me to share, and I pray God can use me to bless and encourage you like he has done through me and through this ministry. This morning I asked him what I should share, and he gave me Matthew 7:14. In 7:14, he used to be a drug I took to get out of reality. And now he's brought me into reality. So Jesus says, "For narrow is the gate and straight the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. Narrow is the gate, straight the way that leads to life, and few find it. And that gate is Zion, the promised land, the spiritual Jerusalem, the passage, which is the finish line in the race. It's very narrow. It's restricted. One, maybe two, you and Jesus would fit through it. It's not like the shopping mall or the stadium or going to Disneyland. It's a very narrow gate. And Jesus comes out and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And when I was in the world, and in the church, and in bondage to my lusts and my sins, I never knew what the joy was. I thought the joy was from the alcohol and the drugs. Straight the way. I looked up straightened. It says to press hard upon as grapes. A compressed way. It's literally afflicted, thronged, suffer tribulation and trouble. And that's what God does for us to get our attention. The way. Jesus is the way. It's your journey. It's your road traveled. It's your course. It's the race. They call it a walk because if you're in the rest, there's no strife to it, but it's a race. And many things try to distract you from that race. Take you out of the race. But you got to keep your face running towards the finish line, which is the sun, which is Zion. That's where the finish line is. The course is your conduct when you're pressed hard upon. How do you react? Your obedience when you're reviled against. Your performance when you see your brother in sin. Do you correct him? Or is it more important to be a friend? Or do you do what the word says and win your brother? Your course is your demeanor when you're suffering tribulations. Your behavior when you are corrected by a brother or God. Do you justify? Do you make excuses? Do you repent and change your ways? What is your course of thinking, feeling, deciding? Is it with a renewed mind of Christ? Or carnal, critical, and judging? How do you reason? How do you make decisions? From your flesh or your spirit man? Are they rational, objective, Christ-like? How do you make your decisions? The course is the highway. It's on the mount. It's not the subway in the depths of the earth. It's the straight way. It's not the broad way. It's in the race, not entertaining the flesh. And where does it lead? Onto life? Where are you being led? Life or death? Eternal glory or damnation? Obedience or disobedience? Sonship or bondservant? Are you in the race or a spectator watching the race? Are you striving for sanctification or reprobation? Are you going to be in the bride, a guest, or kicked out not having a wedding garment? Where's it leading you? Are you going to the wedding feast or the pig roast? How are you going to finish the race? Walking into the kingdom for the feast through the narrow gate, or taken, bound hand and foot, taken away, cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth? At that point, it's too late to repent or be forgiven. Are you going to repent now? Are you going to forgive now? Or are you going to wait? Who is leading you on this path? Is it God or Satan? Are you being led by the Holy Spirit or the lusts of your flesh? Are you walking by faith? Or are you under the law? Who's leading you? Are you being led by a shepherd or a wolf? Are you being led by a true apostle or a false prophet? Are you being led by your wife or your husband, Jesus? How are you being led? Are you being led by emotions? Are you being led by fear? Are you being led by hidden sin? Are you jealous? Are you being led by unforgiveness and bitterness, rejection and anger, fear of what others think? What's leading you? Few are they that find it. When I looked up that word few, it meant puny. And to me, puny is extremely few. For many be called, but few are chosen. Matthew 20:16. In Luke 13:22, and he, Jesus, went on his way through the city and villages, teaching and journeying on unto Jerusalem. He's leading the way. He's showing us where the spiritual Jerusalem is. He went through the cities and villages, the world, unto Jerusalem. And one said unto him, Lord, are they few that are saved? And he said, Jesus said unto them, strive to enter in by the narrow door. And that's to fight for, labor fervently, struggle, compete for a prize. That's what striving is going for it. For many I say unto you, he's saying, pay attention, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Why not? Because you're not sanctified. When once the master of the house, who is Jesus, is looking up and has shut the door, We always ask God to open and close doors, but this is one door we don't want him to close. And ye begin to stand without. And what were they without? They were without a wedding garment. They're without oil in their lamp. They were standing without. And to knock at the door saying, Lord, open up us. And I see it says us. So it shows that there was a group of people out there. It wasn't just one. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. So I ask, where are you? Where are you at? Ask yourself before Jesus does. Then shall ye begin to say, you're pleading. We did eat and drink in thy presence. Yeah, we're all feeding our flesh in his presence. And thou didst teach in our streets. So they were out there doing unfruitful works in the name of Jesus. And he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Separate one from another. The union of fellowship is destroyed. Not in one accord are the workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and the gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves cast forth without. What are they without? They're without salvation. And they shall come from the east and west and from the north and south. So they're coming from all the nations, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And that's in Zion. And behold, there are last who shall be first, and there are first who shall be last. So in Zion, there's no seniority. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It just matters, are you sanctified? Are you set apart from the world? Are you set apart from your sins? Are you set apart from the apostate religion? Are you set apart from yourself, the old man, the lust of the flesh? He just wants to set apart from that. Set apart from Egypt. Are you set apart, or is Egypt still in you? What is your soul tie to the world? If you are tied to the world, you can't get to Zion. And in 2 Peter 2:6, this is God talking, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, having made them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, sore distressed by the lasciviousness life of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them is seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their lawless deeds. So righteous Lot was in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was vexing his soul day to day. So I ask, where are you dwelling? What is afflicting your soul? What is oppressing your soul? What is keeping your soul tethered to Sodom and Gomorrah? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you being fed? What's keeping you tied to the world? Is it the internet? The television? Your smartphone? Talk radio? News? What do you believe in? Are you listening to gossipers and slanderers? Are you getting advice from the worldly people? Are you being led by the apostate church? What is tying your soul to the world? What is your stumbling block? Identify it. Because the Lord wants you to get separated from it. Ask Him, He'll show you. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. What is keeping you tied to sin? What lies are you believing? How are you justifying it? You know the truth. It will set you free. If you repent and change your mind. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow after peace with all men. And peace comes from love. That's agape love. That's obedient love. That's loving all men, loving your enemies, loving them that persecute you, praying for them. And it says, and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. That's pretty serious right there. If you're not set apart from your sin, from your lusts, from the world, it says, no man shall see the Lord. Looking carefully, there he says again, pay attention, lest any man that falleth short, that's not reaching the finish line. We don't want to fall short before we get to Zion. That any man falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble, and thereby may be defiled. So bitterness is wrapped up in unforgiveness, which is not love. It's wrapped up in hate and anger, which is not love. It says it's going to defile you. It's going to contaminate you. And 16 says, lest any fornicators or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. And a fornicator is a male prostitute selling his body for flesh. What is your mess of meat? What are you selling for your birthright? Hebrews 12 and 17, for you know that even when after desire to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, is reprobated. For he found no peace for a change of mind. He couldn't repent. It was too late. He couldn't find it. Though he sought it diligently with tears. Sounds like the man at the marriage feast without a wedding garment. So I ask, what is holding you back from repentance? With me, it was rejection. I didn't want, you know, all my life, my head told me that I was no good, I was stupid, I wasn't gonna amount to anything. So it was hard to go to my brother and confess my sins, because I had to admit that I was wrong. And I had to agree with what my head was telling me all my life. It was hard for me to repent. So I was hiding my sins. And the Lord brought me to the wilderness, started working on me, and brought me to a place where I was at total weakness. And he got my attention. And through that, he showed me what was in me. He humbled me because he loved me. And I was able to give him the rejection, knowing that he has never rejected me. He pulled me out of Egypt. He pulled me out of that slop. And he brought me to the wilderness. He delivered me. He set me free of bitterness, all tied into unforgiveness. Even in the wilderness, I had issues, but I was hiding them. But he got my attention. And once I got set free of that, I never knew what the joy of the Lord was. I never knew what peace was, the peace of the Lord. Because I always had stupid thoughts going on in my head. I always had critical thoughts towards people. I would never speak them, but I would think them. And that was sin. And he showed me the errors of my way. And he had to spank me pretty hard to bring me to that point. But I thank him for that, because he freed me up. I never saw myself as a son. I always saw myself as a servant. But he showed me I'm a son. I'm an heir to his kingdom. I just have to stay in the race. So I ask you, what's holding you back? What's tying you to the world? What's tying you, keeping you in your sin? Give it to him. Repent. Confess your sins. You don't know the bondage you're in until you come out of it. So let's pray. Father, I just ask that if there's anyone that is caught in bondage, that's been justifying, that's been making excuses, that's been hiding their sins, that don't want to give up the world for some kind of a fear, or it's feeding their flesh, Lord, I just ask that you just give them your strength, your power, your boldness to get back in the race, to get their eyes focused on the prize, on the finish line, in Zion, the New Jerusalem, to get their eyes focused on the bride, getting rid of the spots and blemishes, and getting a pure garment. So Father, give them the ability to confess their sins. I bind up the principalities and powers of rejection and lying spirits that are keeping them bound in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to just show them the errors of their way. Help them to get right with you, back in the race. Amen. Well, I hope that blessed you. It's what the Lord put on my heart. And I love you.